This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
Start talking about DC instead of people throwing things at me.
Oh, speaking of DC.
Yeah. Like AC.
Seriously,
DC?
Domino is friggin' great, man.
I was surprised that you liked that.
I mean, I've always liked the character, and this really is the show to talk about it. But yeah, I always liked her way more than Deadpool when they both showed up in New Mutants way back when. Mm. And I like Gail Simone, so I'm like, yeah, I'll give this a shot. The art in that book is fantastic. And I don't know if you're reading it or not, but I
am, but what is it? Issue 3's out now?
4 was the last one.
Okay, so I'm 3 issues.
Only the first one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's good stuff. You see the Birds of Prey news? speaking of Gail Simone.
Yeah, I did see that. That's a good transition since we're professional.
Super professionals. We're so professional that I would be throwing a ball at a dunk tank right now. So what do you think of the news that we're going to get Renee Montoya and Cassandra Cain in this movie?
Cassandra Cain. If she shows up like Orphan,
mm-hmm.
then I'm in, but I don't know.
I guess sort of. What do you think that they would do with her if not?
Well, wasn't
that.
She like the in New 52? Wasn't she Batgirl too?
Yeah. Well, was that New 52 or was that before New 52? I think it was before.
Well, I thought it was New 52. So, but you understand what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. But her as Batgirl though was still awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know if I
because
I,
that's
I would rather
that's win. Not that's not the Batgirl that people would be used to.
Yeah, and I would say that. Yeah. I see where you're going with that. I don't know.
Although at the same point, the way that people talk about Marvel movies, if it's not the Batgirl they're used to, they're going to trash it and say that it's totally useless and that they're making up garbage characters and whatever.
Well, let's face it. It's DC, so they're going to trash it anyways, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm really excited. If Renee Montoya at the end of the film turns into the Question, it'll be awesome. I mean, it's going to be awesome anyways, because I never thought she would actually be in a movie, but...
Yeah, my... I guess when I saw before the article about that, I was like, oh, yes. And my wife was like, what? And I'm like, nothing. It's like nerd stuff. That she goes, no, what? I'm like, oh, no. You know how they're making. I don't think it's the Suicide Squad sequel, but it's like the spinoff Harley Quinn movie that they've been talking about. She goes, oh, yeah, I heard that they were doing something. And I'm like, well, they announced, you know, it's going to have, Black Canary and Huntress. And Cassandra Cain and Renee Montoya, and that's awesome. And she's like, why is that awesome? And I'm like, okay, sit down because I have to explain.
and she
looks at me and she goes, honestly, I don't care that much. And then she walked away. So one day I will catch her and I will explain to her why Renee Montoya in this movie is awesome.
Damn you, Joel. Damn you.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know who that is. I was like, exactly, and you will know who that is because we're going to see this movie. And she's like, oh, I would have gone to see it anyway. I'm like, exactly. So, but I'll explain to you beforehand so that you don't ask me during things that will get explained later in the movie.
Come on. You know she's still going to ask questions.
Oh, of course. Oh, my goodness. She did that. She did, through Deadpool 2, the last one. We're sitting in every time, like, anybody showed up anywhere. She's like... Who's that guy? I'm like, seriously, can you just like think of this in your head and then ask me later so I can just watch the movie?
Yes, because we all know how much wives are with the Rolodex memory, right? So you can just jot it down.
Yeah.
And when you walk into the car, you can ding and then ask me and then spin it again, and then ding, ask me again.
Yeah. Or, you know what? When I have it on Blu-ray, we'll sit and watch it together. Anytime you have a question, I'll pause the movie, and I will answer all of your questions. Mm. But, yeah. I already know she's going to ask me about Aquaman, so I'm going to have to start teaching her about Aquaman before we go see that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
You see the posters?
I seen the posters. And okay. By plural, I'm saying the main poster and then the meme posters around it.
Yeah, that everyone's making.
Yes. But I'm excited to see the trailer.
Yeah, I think Saturday. Someone said, is it Saturday? Okay.
Yes, Saturday. Because, I mean, it makes sense because Comic-Con, San Diego Saturday, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. Also, speaking of meme posters, you see all the Shazam pictures that they released?
Yes.
And how people are putting Shazam in the background of like all of the other Marvel movies?
Yes.
That's fantastic. It's, you know, there are many times when the internet craps all over the DC movies. But this, I fully appreciate Shazam drinking a soda behind Batman and Superman when they're about to fight, and, you know, or any of the other stuff.
Yes, there's many times when the internet sucks, but there are also select times when the internet wins.
Yes, they have done very well right there. And speaking of the internet winning, I feel we may have had a big part in this Injustice Masters of the Universe book.
I think so.
Because, I mean, we've told everybody to read Injustice. And all of a sudden now there's going to be a pretty awesome crossover.
Yeah. And we even talked about this before.
Yeah.
When we first heard that it was announced.
Yeah. But we also talked about the other DC He-Man crossover too, I think, way back when.
Yeah.
So I'm down. I mean, it says Injustice, so I'm automatically in.
Yeah.
And then it also says He-Man. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah. It's got to be better than the She-Ra thing that.
It will be mine.
That, God, did you see that?
I don't even remember what you're talking about. You were so maybe back I didn't see.
With the cartoon?
Oh, I didn't see that. Hmm.
And just do some research on that and then get back.
Nah, I'm good.
Just picture Titans Go.
Come on.
But, I mean, it's a little more, like, if Titans Go was realistic, that would be like a 2. So this one would be like a 3-ish, 4-ish.
What's the new story? She wants to be a singer in a punk band?
No. They were afraid that they get sued over Jim and Hogan.
Or Black Canary.
Yeah. No, her background or her origin.
Interesting.
Not saying that I was a huge She-Ra fan, but I mean, it was linked to He-Man, so I watched it.
Yeah, my sister was very into She-Ra, so I got to watch it and destroy a lot of her toys.
Yeah, well, I stole my sister's She-Ra and Bo, because that was old.
Makes sense.
But, back to Injustice, I do have a question, though.
Uh-oh. So, okay.
When this all happens, are we still in, like, year one?
That's what it seems like, right? Because it said that Adam was going to team up with Batman to combat Superman, right? So, I mean, if it's not year one, it's got to be before year 5 at least.
Right, yeah.
So, I'm not sure. And did it say how many issues? Is it 4? Is it 6? Is it like a full year of this? Because, yes, please. I mean, you want to give me that weekly for like, I don't know, 6 months? I'm good. So, yeah. And when does it start? It starts in the fall? Or was it next year? I don't even remember.
I thought issue 1 came out this week, or comes out this week.
Is it this week?
I thought.
Okay, that's even better. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was like October.
I thought that's why.
Maybe this week is October.
The Man of 1,000 podcast told us about it.
But he didn't tell us about it. He brought it up.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
He brought it to our attention.
I am looking at my list of books for this week, and it is on that list of books. So, yeah. Cool. That's pretty awesome. You know what else is pretty awesome?
What?
Plastic Man. I think possibly my favorite thing that I read this week, and as you know, because I had no power or internet, I read a lot of books this week, was Plastic Man freaking out that Batman was going to kill him. But of course, it was not the Batman. It was the Man-Bat, which makes it so much better. But this book is terrific. It really is. It's everything I had hoped for in a Plastic Man book.
I agree. I totally agree with that. The only thing that I don't agree with is I don't think it was my favorite DC book of the week.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't say this was my favorite DC book. I said my favorite part of a book that I read.
Oh, okay.
Was the Man-Bat thing.
Okay. Because I thought...
No. I think we will agree on what the best DC book of the week was.
I was going to say, because if Plastic Man was your number one, then my best one was going to be your number two.
No. It'll be number one. You're talking Immortal Man, right?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't know it. But what... So what... Where are you expecting the rest of Plastic Man to go after his awesome fight with Man-Bat, basically asking to join up with
him? I mean, it's basically just going to be like sideshow capers, right?
Yeah, this is four issues, not six.
Right.
Okay, so we're halfway through.
Yeah.
We're halfway there.
No.
Oh.
No. Don't let the fact that I am from New Jersey fool you.
I thought that was a plug.
No.
Sorry.
No, absolutely not. I'm like 99% sure I'm the only person from New Jersey who dislikes both Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen. I mean, believe me, any bar I've ever been into, I've been the very, very small minority of people.
Okay, where do you think Plastic Man's going?
Man,
clearly
I have...
Clearly not to the Boss concert or Bon Jovi concert.
Thank goodness. Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, do you think you're actually ever going to figure out the sort of mystery that's going on?
No, not really. I mean...
I mean, if it is, do you think it's going to sort of be like a little throwaway where it's like something super obvious that he's just like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the whole series was just like a pointless goof?
Yeah, I think so. But but that's okay for this miniseries, because honestly, that's what I expected. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm okay with it being a point story.
See, I think I agree with you. And it's weird, because normally I hate that. But I think based on what you said, you know, how it is just a miniseries that's not supposed to be part of the greater anything, I think I'm totally okay with it being just whatever.
Just zany and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That it's and I don't even know why they decided to do a Plastic Man story, but I'm really glad they did.
Yeah.
I mean, when they announced it and they're like, Gail Simone is writing Plastic Man, I was like, that just sounds so random. But well,
also you gotta think, like, from I would assume from like a marketing standpoint, you have younger kids that are reading, right? Their
right.
first introduction to Plastic Man was when he looked like Silly Putty Egg. In Metal.
So you really think little kids are reading Metal?
Well, I would think so. Yeah. They had cool shiny covers and, you know, it had emo Batman in it or whatever, emo Joker or whatever it was.
Listen, Ronnie, nobody read Metal.
We kind of read it. So, I mean.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Like,
yeah.
So this is just like, hey, this is a fun story to get Plastic Man out there. Because that's where he should be. Because if you make him serious, then he just turns into Ralph.
Well, my kids know Plastic Man from, I think, the third Lego Batman game.
Okay.
Where he was one of the playable characters.
I thought you were going to say Brave and the Bold cartoon.
No. We have unlocked everything in that Lego game. So they know all the characters, and they think it's funny when he turns himself into an airplane to fly, a little prop plane.
Yeah.
So I happened to be reading Plastic Man, and my son came over and was looking over my shoulder at what it was, and he goes, "Oh, that's Plastic Man." And I was like, "Fantastic! I have taught you well."
Yeah. Parenting win one.
Yeah, but I love this book. It's just like it's so stupid. But it's like the right type of stupid where it just hits you, you know, in all the right ways.
Yeah.
Like when he's basically transforming himself or like molding himself. He's the dinosaur. Then he was what, like Optimus Prime, basically.
Yeah.
And then he was the I just forgot what the other one was. Like the – crud, I just forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but oh, good stuff.
Yeah. It's one of those super fun books.
Yep.
That – you don't have to think, right? Like, if you've had a hard day at work or, you know, crazy day, whatever, and you don't feel like reading something that's real complex, that's fun. Oh, yeah, this is the reason why I read comic books.
But it also strangely has heart.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because, you know, the stuff with, I forget the kid's name, you know, where the kid was, kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And whatever the voice, he's like, look, I'm only 11. They're like, yeah, I don't care. We've killed younger. You know, we don't care. Yeah. But Plastic Man's like whole thing is he's got to go and find the kid and save him. Uh-huh. Like, okay, good on you.
Yeah, this is highly recommended for anybody that's not reading.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't wait for the next two because I think, I mean, I'm reading it as it comes out, but I think once the fourth one comes out, I think this is going to read really well as a trade.
Yeah.
Totally. Because you don't have to wait for the hijinks, I guess. So, I'm down.
Make me a trash can. I'm good.
Okay.
He did that in the first issue, remember?
Yeah.
The best book, though.
Do you want to do that now or do you want to do that last?
We could do it now because I've been waiting a while to talk to you about it.
Okay.
So this book has been good for us, at least.
Right? Yes.
But it just felt like it has been missing something.
You're talking Wonder Woman 50, right?
No, I'm talking Sideways.
I knew you were talking Sideways. This is my favorite book of the week as well.
Yeah. But and we've been enjoying it, but it just felt like it was missing something.
Yep.
And we couldn't figure out what it was. And this issue, I think I actually like literally texted you, not messaged you, after I read this, and I was like, "Holy shit, this is the actual issue that we've been waiting for."
Yeah. Yeah, cuz we've been saying it, like you just said, it needed something. And I think this one with the whole, I mean, look, how many times has, you know, your parent or your spouse or something messaged you and you're just like, or called and you're like, yeah, I'll get it later. Yeah, I'll just call back.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But of course, you know, when your mother didn't work for some weird, shady company that's spying on your son. But yeah, I think this whole thing with his mother is going to be what propels him to the next level of character.
Yeah. And I hate to use this analogy, but we have before as where this is like the Spider-Man analog, right?
Okay. But I don't know who that is.
Whatever. You read the piss poor one last week. This is his "with great power comes great responsibility" moment. Because before this, he was just being a kid that actually had powers. Like,
right.
you would believe.
Yeah, he's screwing off.
Yeah, doing YouTube stuff because he doesn't have a care in the world and he's got powers.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes he would help things, and then other times he would close portals and cut off people's arms.
Fantastic.
But this one was the gut punch that...
Yep.
And I kind of don't like it that it's tropey, as like a parent has to die or
that was, know, what I was just gonna say.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
But the whole story of it being laid out
was done really well.
Yes.
That instead of just a random whatever, you know, there was a reason behind it.
Well, that, but like also like his side of the thing where he's mad at her, so he's ignoring her calls, he's ignoring her text. And you see that throughout the whole book, and then that moment happens, and he can't take that moment back.
Now, even if he did answer the phone or get back in touch with her earlier, do you think it would have made any difference? I mean, she still would have been killed by, you know, by the people.
Right.
And dumped wherever. And he wouldn't really, I mean, do you think that she would have said to him on the phone, "This company is doing blah, 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 they're spying on you and whatever else"? Or do you think she'd say, "You need to come home, we have to talk right now"? And then before that happened, she would be killed. Like, do you think if they touched base, then she would have filled him in, or it still wouldn't have made a difference?
Well, see here, this is, I thought about this too.
Okay.
Obviously, she said we need to talk like 3 or 4 times, and he ignored her.
Right.
So that didn't work. But if she would have said that, and he would have came back, and they would have talked about it, and then she would have got killed later,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have been... I think he would have been sent on a different path than what he would be right now.
Makes sense.
Like a darker path.
Yeah.
As to now, he... Maybe part of it will be revenge, you know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
more of it would be, I don't want anybody else to go through this either type of thing. And this evil corporation has to be shut down. So
right.
then, because of that, then I'm the good guy, or I'm on the good side. But if it was the other way, then I think it could have veered off really dark as to where then he would just open portals and close portals and chop people in half. Just to get even.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think I both agree and I disagree. That's all. No, I think, honestly, I think if they had the conversation, it would have probably made him screw off even more, because I don't think he would have believed her based off of everything that was happening.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, with how she's always trying to, you know, what basically be his mother.
Yeah.
I think if she said, listen, I know you're sideways, I know this or whatever, I think it would have given him less cares in a weird way, just based off of how he has reacted to everything else. And that he would have been like, all right, well, in that case, and he just would have like rifted out right there. So, yeah, I don't know. I really want the next issue of this already, because I want to see what happens when he finds out. Because, you know, all he knows, right? He's calling her as the police find the body, right? Right. Yeah. So
he still doesn't know, like, what the panels that we see, he doesn't know. Obviously, he knows mm-hmm. because he's telling us the story, the narration part of it.
Right. Yeah. But, and I'm wondering if he will go on a whole, you know, I wish I talked to her sooner. Or if, like, you know, and blames himself and goes nuts, or if it's going to be, I don't know, like a teenager deals with stuff weirdly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see where they go.
Because he made that comment to his dad, which neither one of them are his actual parents, right?
Right.
That, you know, you don't take sides anyways. You always stay out of it or whatever.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think this was the strongest person to him.
Yep.
Or closest of the two parents to him. So this is going to affect him, I can only assume, for the better.
Better.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't know that. And yeah. By better, I mean, you know, give him the level him up to be a hero.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, this is a good book. I'm surprised I'm enjoying it as much as I am. But
with this issue and with issues to follow, which, you know, we talked last episode that we're not sure how long these will last even.
Right.
And at this very fallen off it.
Mm. Yeah.
But with this issue and the molding of this character that's yet to come, I can see him getting thrown in like Titan.
Right.
But yeah, this book was far and away the best book of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree.
And I wasn't even expecting it. I know it said it on the cover.
Did it say it on the cover? Is it like Invincible, where it's like the greatest superhero comic of all time?
No, well, no. I mean, it said something great will happen, and then something terrible will, or something.
A secret, you know, revealed, then yeah. Tragedy strikes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you knew something bad was going to happen, but.
So now I got to ask, based off of the fact that this is issue 6, right? And it took 6 issues for it to like really kick into a groove, I guess. Do you think that it's too little too late? I don't know what the numbers are. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
But do you think, you know, because I mean, we're not typical comic readers. We stick with stuff a lot. I mean, I'd say for the most part, we'll stick with stuff we enjoy longer than most, you know, if it's as long as it's not totally tanking.
Yeah.
Although at the same time, if something like we can both nope out of an issue a couple pages in.
Yeah.
But yeah. With something like this, do you think if people are reading the first few issues and they're like, oh, it's okay, but you know, I'm not super excited about it, that they're already gone by the time it got to this point, which is like where you should be reading.
Yep. I do. I think they probably read the first four, if that, and decided from.
And DC's trades, they do 6 issues?
Okay.
Do they? I'm asking. I don't remember. Is it 4? Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, this would be like a crazy part to leave like the end of the first trade.
Yeah.
With that reveal, I think would be great to get people interested in the next book. But, you know, I mean, we're way off of a trade coming out for this.
Right.
And by the time that happens, if I don't know.
Yeah, I'm saying 12 will probably.
Right.
And like, if it got axed early, how would you end on 6?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the last one. It's not selling, or, you know, we're not putting out the rest of them because it's not making us money. How could you leave off? That'd be like those one season TV shows that you thought were awesome, but got canceled after the first season.
Yeah, like John from Cincinnati. Yeah. Slash was on for a while.
I know.
I mean, I think it probably also doesn't help that the writer is like one of the people that runs the company. So maybe he'll give it a little more leeway.
Justin Jordan runs the company?
No, did you notice he didn't write this one?
No, yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw me for a loop because usually he finds his groove in like the darker type stuff.
Yeah.
I really hope this one goes. I mean,
I honestly
think we're only going to see 12 of them.
See, if that's the case, I think that in the next 6 issues, you can have a decent enough resolution, at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's paced really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the next issue is going to be him finding out his mother was killed and going kind of crazy. And then I think issue 8 would probably be him deciding he's got to get his act together. And then 9 through 12 is him figuring out what's going on and either stopping it or failing to stop it.
Right.
And ending on a cliffhanger. And then the series ends and you're just like, no.
At DC Comics about, where's my sideways? I need to get sideways.
Yeah. And then like 20 years from now, it'll be like, Sideways is back. And you're like, yes, but it's like a different sideways and I'll be angry.
Yep.
Like, this isn't my sideways. Get off my lawn.
Hashtag not my sideways.
Yeah. I had a question also about this.
Okay.
And it's totally unrelated to this book, but it's a question that I've had for a while, and I don't know if we've ever talked about it. In the scene where he goes to his friend's house and her twin sister answers the door and is walking around, and she's wearing a Batman t-shirt, and his phone eventually rings, and I guess it's like the Batman theme song. What do you think of people in like the DC comic book universe wearing superhero t-shirts or, you know, ringtones and stuff like that? Do you think it fits or do you think it's weird?
Okay. Both is my answer, and I'll give you examples of.
Okay.
Here, I think it's fine because they're teenagers and it's like the pop culture in their environment.
Okay.
Like it is in our pop culture.
Right.
Because they're heroes there and, you know, whatever. In Mr. Miracle, Scott wears like a different superhero shirt every issue.
Right.
And at first I thought it was okay, but then like I was just like, come on, you know. It kind of throws me off. Like, why would he, of all people, wear one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, and also, I forget, I think it was in Flash, where the kid was playing with all the, like, the superhero figures, and I started thinking to myself, I think that's when it started, but, like, this issue made me think of it again, where, I mean, obviously, in today's world, they will mass market anything, and they will sell licenses to anything and do it, but, you know, I mean, we'll wear superhero shirts and buy a desk full of Funko Pops and stuff like that, right?
Right.
If there was a legitimate superhero that came out and started saving things, do you think that they would market that? Or do you think it would be like, no, you know, we market Batman and Superman, not, you know, Face Guy or whatever?
Well, Well, there was that guy in Seattle.
Face guy is trademarked by me.
There was that one real life superhero guy in Seattle.
Not those weird guys who wear costumes and walk around the street and like think that they do anything.
I'm talking about legit ones.
Yeah. If there was a legitimate, I mean, listen,
how many gold, right?
I mean, I guess, but how many?
Because you would have like, I don't know, Charmin and Mountain Dew and, you know, whatever. You'd look like a NASCAR because you'd have sponsors all over.
Yeah, I guess.
If we were in that world, we would be the Booster Gold of 52.
Yeah, I just don't know if I'd wear their t-shirt.
Well, I mean, then it would be like favorite football or baseball teams, right?
But I don't know. But it's different.
No, but it's not.
But it is.
Yes, it's totally because different.
Do you walk around wearing a Ron Jeremy t-shirt?
No. Because
I know he's your hero.
My favorite porn star. Yeah. Ollie North, on the other hand.
You see what I'm saying, though? But I think you could
tell that kids would get in arguments of who is the best at school because Batman and Superman were real.
See, but I think it's different. It's not like a Yankees versus Red Sox thing, you know? People wearing a baseball jersey or a football jersey or something like that. But it's not, I don't know. It's just different, Ronnie.
Okay. I don't think so, though. I mean, yes, like the Yankees and Red Sox legitimately hate each other, and they have a heated rival, but as to where Batman and Superman are like best friends. But I think since we're in that society, we're going to market anything and we're going to sell the crap out of anything. And so if it's hot, we're going to sell it. If it's a controversial point, we're going to sell it.
Well, then I'm going to start making serial killer jerseys, trademarked, and start selling those to people like you who think that it's a normal thing to wear.
I did. Now, did I say that I was going to wear a Catwoman jersey or a Robinson jersey?
That's what you just said. You said you were going to wear a Catwoman jersey. I'm like 50% sure I heard you say that just now.
we'll roll back that beautiful bean footage and bet I did. Now, like you just said, though, it would be weird if you had like a Joker shirt or not really Lex Luthor because he's like a corporation, you know, so that'd like be wearing a Microsoft or an Apple shirt.
Right.
But if you had, you know, a Zaz shirt or, you know, something like that, then yeah, you're probably one of those crazy people.
Right.
But if you had a Wonder Woman or a Batman, Aquaman, you know, one of the actual quote unquote heroes, I just think that's part of everyday life as a normal person in this environment. And then you have like the lefties and the righties who, you know, freaks of nature, blah blah blah, you know, and then everybody would be going crazy.
Whatever you were trying to say made absolutely no sense to me, and it was perfect.
You don't understand what I'm saying, though?
You're like blah 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 and everybody's going crazy.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you would have those hardcore people, either on the left or on the right side, that would be all people that have powers are bad, no matter if it's Superman or not, right?
Right.
And then you'd have the normal, sane people in the middle and be like, yeah, Superman's awesome. You know, he stands for truth, justice, and the American way. And little kids would wear Superman stuff. And you'd dress your dog up to look like, see, Gary would dress up like Crypto.
No, that would be Pickles, because Pickles is white.
Okay. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? It would just be the same thing there in that universe that it is here, just that they have actually cool people to have powers.
Nah, I still think it's different.
We'll put up a Twitter poll. How about that?
Nah, Twitter polls are useless. The only person that ever replies is me.
I know. Which I was going to put up a poll today. about how you say Martian Manhunter's name, his secret identity name.
Yeah, and it's not Jones.
Why not?
Because there's a double vowel. Well, actually, a triple vowel after a triple consonant after the vowel.
Yeah.
There's nothing to make that O a long O. It's an ah sound.
So is it So how do you say his first name?
Ja'an.
Ja'an.
Right? Because there's an apostrophe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's an apostrophe in the second one, too.
Yeah, but it's not Ja'ones.
Why not?
Because that's ridiculous. Learn English, man.
No. Because if it... Well, I always read it in my head. That's how I read it. And it always felt... because in my head, I was like, John Johns is a dumb name. And Martian Manhunter's cool.
He's an alien, and there's apostrophes.
Yeah, so
and there's two Z's.
So it has to be Jean Jones, like no, French.
He's not French.
I didn't say he was French. Obviously,
you just
Martian,
said like he's French.
I said it was. I was thinking it was pronounced like French. Yeah, and it sounds a lot cooler if you say Jean Jones than John Jones. Right.
And neither of them are his name. So,
or if you sound like a redneck and be like, "Yeah, my name's John Johns."
There you go. That's his name.
That's dumb.
It's not dumb. Just because you grew up around a whole bunch of rednecks that don't know how to talk doesn't mean that this one particular instance they're wrong. Oh my goodness, I give up.
I want people to tweet at us how they read it and say it as.
No one's going to listen to this, Ronnie. We lost our argument over superhero shirts.
Well, I mean, we have our usual one or two listener faithfuls. That's just because they're doing stuff in the background.
Yeah. We should put up a bunch of random polls but none of the end and just see if people reply. As we talked about on the episode.
Yeah. What color socks does Superman wear?
Yeah. Great. Now you brought it up, so we actually did talk about it on the episode.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of Superman socks.
Yeah. See, because we're professional.
I feel that Superman number one was not as good as the Man of Steel miniseries.
Yes. You are correct again.
Yeah. I liked it, but it did not. Each issue of Man of Steel got better for me as the series went on. And this one jumped back a bit. I liked a lot of the stuff that he did. Well, I guess that was done with him like sitting and moping about John and Lois being gone.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Superman stuff I just wasn't feeling. Like his new random Fortress of Solitude in the Bermuda Triangle.
Why did he pick the
I mean, because anyone who goes there disappears, duh. even though that's... Do you remember like believing that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I remember questioning it. I don't know if I ever remember believing it.
Yeah.
But so you pick anywhere. I guess that would be the only other logical place except for building it in the same spot.
In the same spot that nobody else knows about. Mm-hmm. But this is the thing. After he builds the Fortress of Solitude, it says something that, like, didn't it say no one will ever know where it is, like where the new location is? That was in one of the boxes. Now, didn't he create it literally right in front of the rest of the Justice League?
Yeah.
So they all know where it is.
Yeah.
So it's not no one knows. It's everyone knows.
Well, and I mean, that's like saying everybody always gets married in a comic book, right? Because if you say it, then you jinx it. And obviously it's foreshadowing for somebody else is going to find it and destroy it.
But. Name one instance where people did not actually get married that were supposed to in a comic book.
Yeah, we talked about it at length last episode.
I remember nothing. Oh, is that the Kitty Pryde thing? Oh, yeah, I got it. I remember now.
Yeah, see? But, yeah, that was my thing. It's like, no one will ever find it now. And then, like, three issues later, the Legion of Doom will destroy it.
Yeah. The one part actually that I really did like about this issue was when Superman was talking to Martian Manhunter and he keeps leaving the conversation because random craziness is going on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'll be right back. Yeah. Hold on one second. And, you know, he goes, I forget one. It was like he fought, I don't know, like a dinosaur of some sort.
Yeah.
Another thing, he was, I guess, saving people in a fire. Then there was something in space. I don't remember what it was. Yeah, something. But that I liked. Like, I'm enjoying this characterization of Superman a lot. But I don't know what it was about this issue. I didn't like it as much as the previous series.
What about John Jones? Do you think he's do you like his voice in this? It seems kind of weird. Because he's basically like saying that as God.
Well,
be able to do this and do that.
And along those lines, do you think that Martian Manhunter is trying to turn this book into Injustice?
If he did, that'd be awesome.
You know, like as I'm reading it, that's all I can think about.
Yeah.
That when he's like, you know, why don't you make sure that no one gets hurt or make sure nothing bad happens or this? Like we have the ability to do this, you know, with whatever he's saying, something about we're going to join the global whatever soon or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why don't we make this a peaceful place before that happens? And all I'm thinking the entire time is I've read this before where he does that and it does not go so well for him.
Yeah. Right. And is this the Martian Manhunter that we know? Like, cause remember I told you that I had this crazy theory, huge rant about this whole rebirth thing.
Mm-hmm. Do I remember you saying that? No, I'm going to be honest with you.
I
zone out when you start talking. Like,
well, we haven't talked about it. I messaged you about it.
Oh, okay.
And said, you know, I wanted to talk about it because I don't think this is our Martian Manhunter. Just like I don't think other characters are who we think they are either.
Well, do you think that's because at the end of this issue he's in the Phantom Zone? Do you think that everything is kind of off and possibly like the entire time he's been in the Phantom Zone and none of this has actually happened? It's just the place messing with him.
Well, that could be, I guess.
And would that be the crappiest cop out of all time after doing really cool stuff? Oh, okay. Would that be the second worst cop out after?
Yeah, but that brings up my point though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if the whole DC Rebirth continuity is Earth Prime like we think it is, or like we're reading it as, you know? Because, like, at the beginning, we had this huge, awesome Rebirth one-shot.
Right.
Right? Well, then we had... I mean, there's tons of examples for it, but, like, we had the Button, right?
Yep.
But we also had Jor-El come into the Superman story.
Mm-hmm.
So, which Jor-El is it? We'll say for lack of better theories, did Dr. Manhattan just grab a Jor-El and put it here and said, okay, let's see if Superman is the greatest, we'll see what happens now, right?
Right.
Or Bane, for that matter. We haven't seen a smart, tactical Bane since the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he actually broke the bat. So, like, is this that Bane that we have in the Batman proper?
See,
like a big, huge battle world, I guess, for lack of better terms. But like, you just put players on the board for different scenarios,
right?
And the only one constant through the whole thing is Wally, because why would anybody forget Wally? Well, we haven't had that execution or explanation because Doomsday Clock's been delayed.
Right.
So, but the proper books have kept on trucking.
So, interesting. Now, do you think, say that was the plan, okay? That everything that they were doing is tying into this whole Button and everything's kind of mixed up with Watchmen and whatever else. Do you think Bendis coming in and taking over would follow along with that?
Because
if he comes in and he goes, I have this idea for Superman, obviously he wouldn't have known the 2 years of planning, whatever.
Well, we've already been 2 years into Rebirth.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Bendis wouldn't know, oh, this is our whole plan for Rebirth. So he would come in with something new, and do you think, based off of the fact that everything else is delayed or not doing anything anymore with anything, that they'd be like, yeah, you know what, just do your story.
Well, if you think about it, this is basically resetting Superman anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Because he doesn't have Jonathan or Lois anymore.
Right.
They're off doing whatever. So...
Space fiction.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's other examples throughout, like, other types of books, too, like Aquaman and Mira. Like, in New 52, they weren't together. And now they're kind of, they were together, but now they're separated or torn apart, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Another example, Red Hood sucked in New 52, and now it's awesome. I mean, you gotta think.
I guess. I wonder if we can thank Dr. Manhattan for that.
Well, it's just one of those things where I don't want to say it's a cop out for different things, but like you see things or you're like, why is that even happening? What's happening there? Why does this happen or whatever?
Right.
And then, you know, it's not explained. Well, you know, like with the whole 50 issue run of Batman, you know, now it's in question of like, were there clues in 1 through 49 about the end of issue 50?
Hmm.
Did we know in the button, you know, that type of thing?
Right.
I don't know. It's just something that I see. I don't see it all the time, like where it doesn't, like in each book, it doesn't beat me over the head with it. But like every once in a while, I'll get a hint of it. And I'm like, are we really even in Earth Prime or whatever you want to call the main Earth?
Yeah.
And now, you know, with metal, now we have negative 52 because now there's a hole in time and space. So how long before Superboy Prime shows back up?
So do you think if the Green Lanterns fix the source wall, everything goes back to what we were used to? And if that's the case, does it go back to New 52 or does it go back to pre-New 52?
I don't know. Or do we get settled into Rebirth world where we get best of both worlds?
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, because why else would a Clark know things from 52 and from pre-52?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just crazy theory thing that I've been meaning to bring it up and see what you thought about it. I mean, obviously, it's a kind of an obvious answer because if we assume that's the way when Rebirth started and like Doomsday Clock was announced and started, that's what it would be Dr. Manhattan making the whole, his own DC universe type of thing.
Right.
But
yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
What else you got?
I don't know. Oh, so in Detective Comics, I don't know why, but for some reason in the first issue, I was reading it Karma as female, and apparently I was wrong. I don't know why. Like, partway through this issue, I'm like, why was I reading this character like with a female voice? And
I was reading it like that too. So you're not there. You're not alone.
But it is not a female. I don't. Right. Well, I mean, I guess it is, but it looks and acts pretty much like a guy.
Yeah, I know. But remember, like I always call them the Suicide Squad, but what were they called?
Oh, geez, you always say this, and I always forget, and then we always remember like 10 minutes later.
But the victim syndicate. The main person in that. Remember, at the beginning, we couldn't figure out if it was a guy or a girl.
Right, but that was, I don't know. I think they were more neutral. Yeah, I don't know. That one seemed more neutral to me. Like this one now, it's like a muscular dude that's just like beating the crap out of Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, and Brian
Adams. Oh yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because we're starting to learn more of his, I guess, Karma's abilities, because when Black Lightning shows up and zaps him with the lightning, you know, you think he's down and out, but apparently now he has the power of lightning. So
yeah. So does that mean he's adapting like a Mazo?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I don't know, but it is very interesting. Also, I enjoy how Black Lightning now knows Bruce Wayne's thing, his secret.
Yeah.
And I forget, what did he say when he first found out? When, oh my goodness, there's the part where he is like, he's like, Batman, Bruce, I don't even know what to call you now. I can't find it in the book. It's about halfway through.
Yeah.
But yeah, where he's like, you know, if you weren't there, Cassandra would have died or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I definitely want something.
Yeah, something mainstream.
And it is interesting, though, because in this one, when Batman's talking to Black Lightning, he brings up Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I think that we saw her. Like, she was in the last issue, right? So I'm assuming that means she's going to be brought in the next issue.
Yeah.
Probably as the next person that Karma is going after.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then, but you know, I wouldn't consider.
I think depending on if they're like, if this is really a follow up to the previous story, mm-hmm. I think based off of her mental state, maybe just because of, you know, how she became very close with Clayface. And now after everything she's been through, she was finally opening up.
Yep.
And now he's gone. So I think it could be.
And with,
yeah, but she's not in this so far. Thank God.
No, I meant her mental state.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why Batgirl would be involved with that, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who knows the Bat family knows she's awesome.
What else?
I don't know. You want to talk about anything else? Okay. Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. So,
let's wrap it up then.
Sure thing. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode of the Absolute DC Podcast and for sticking around through Ronnie's insane theory. if you would like to hate tweet Ronnie, you can hate tweet him at Who's Paul. You can get in touch with me directly on Twitter at Aaron S. Bell.
I'm actually at Rombar316.
And the show is at DC_Absolute. Thank you for listening. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Now that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.